Welcome to Ready to Launch, a special series about entrepreneurship in MENA. This series is a collaboration between Riada, a Wilson Center podcast hosted by Marissa Khurma, director of the Wilson Center's Middle East program, and The Straight Up Startup, hosted by myself, Rajai Sahouri, from Amman, Jordan. We highlight Women's History Month in today's episode by zooming into the world of women entrepreneurship in the MENA region. Our guest, Maryam Hassani, is the co-founder of Hydrowind Energy, a clean tech startup in the UAE, which aims to develop disruptive systems to address the challenges of low-cost electricity, seawater desalination, and more. Hydrowind Energy was listed amongst the top 100 startups shaping the fourth industrial revolution by the World Economic Forum. Maryam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Not at all. Maryam, so what's your story with Hydrowind Energy, and why did you choose the entrepreneurial path?
Well, it all started as I was basically trying to find my place within the ecosystem as a fresh grad. I didn't quite know where I wanted to, what field I wanted to be in and what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I was actually undecided in university up until the last semester. So it's very much like me going to the registrar and them kind of telling me what I had majored in this last 4 years with them, just given mm-hmm. that I always wanted to take the approach of pursuing what I'm passionate in. So I would take the randomest of classes and ended up with one major and three minors. So I really wanted to keep on that track, even once I had graduated, given I had such a diverse educational background. And I found myself in management consulting. And from there, again, I really thrived in the diversity of the projects I got to work on. And one specific project led me to acting as an innovation ecosystem enabler. So I got to meet a lot of different startups from around the world that were interested and attracted to the UAE to set up and really grow their business here in the UAE, specifically in Dubai. And that's actually how I got to meet Hydrowind Energy and their CEO, Lee King. It was through one of the accelerators that we were running. And I was part of the application evaluation committee or the team that was in charge of attracting these startups. And I just got drawn to the mission statement. I mean, trying to solve the three of the world's largest challenges from energy generation to energy or grid scale energy storage and seawater desalination. It's quite a grand goal of ours, and we're making some good strides towards it. I mean, unfortunately, and maybe actually fortunately for me, Hydrowind Energy didn't get into that particular accelerator program. But from there, I had the opportunity to sit down and learn more about the company, and was invited to join on as a co-founder and chief innovation officer.
That's fantastic. I mean, like, great story. On to you, Marissa.
Thank you, Rajai, and welcome, Maryam, to our Ready to Launch series. I could not help but, I guess, ask you these questions about what is it like to be in this ecosystem as a woman, particularly because we're also highlighting women entrepreneurship and women entrepreneurs this month. I know in other countries, women face some challenges in accessing finance. But what is it like to be part of that ecosystem as a woman co-founder? What does the UAE government provide in terms of support to help you address some of these challenges?
I mean, that's a great question. At least from my experience, both, I guess, backstage and also in front stage of the innovation ecosystem as a woman, I found that, especially in the UAE, given the novelty or rarity of women in such positions, it's quite embraced. Actually, and I wouldn't say there's plenty of women-specific programs, but I do feel that there is there is a shared want to support women in the ecosystem, especially when they prove themselves in some sort of way or take that initiative. Entrepreneurship in general, I think, is very much encouraged and empowered here, especially given the UAE's mission and leadership's mission to attract and retain talent. There is no question that it's been said that the true value of a nation is in its people, both in its citizens and its residents. So along that track of really trying to nurture that ecosystem and make sure that all the infrastructure is in place, from policies, regulations, and procurement even, to really ensure that those that have a dream or have that initiative are given kind of like a sandbox to test it out, and even partner and have or secure pilots with public sector entities.
So are there specific programs to encourage more women like yourself into the ecosystem?
There, to my knowledge, there is one in that's run out of FinTech Hive in the IFC. Mm-hmm. I know someone who was a part of that program. However, I myself wasn't, because I never felt the need to go to a specific program for women. I really do feel that all programs are open to their main priority is a good idea, both for short-term and long-term gain. And I think if you have, that's the beauty of the innovation ecosystem. If you have a good idea, you're given the space to run with it.
Yeah, and like I want to follow up on that, Mariam. So since you've worked on an incubator, and like, you know, as you said, like it's about the great idea, and you're fighting for a big one, you know, with like hydro wind in terms of energy and the seawater desalination. Like this is like huge problems that are facing the world, specifically the Middle East. So tell us more about like a woman in the energy sector. What are the challenges they are facing? And, you know, how can they address it? How can the government address it? Incubators. Just tell us more about the ecosystem of that.
Yeah, I think, the energy sector is always one that's vibrant, especially here in the UAE, given UAE's position in the oil and gas industry. Also, the pledges to be net zero by, I think it was 2040. So that's quite an ambitious pledge. And I think there are strides to ensure that we get as close as possible to that. So I would talk in more general terms. The industry itself, especially when it comes to technology-based startups, it does, because it requires such heavy capital or investment, I would say it requires patient investment. There's a lot of R&D that goes into this, and what our technology is based on is basically we're disrupting the whole industry by trying to create a completely clean approach to water desalination and energy generation and storage. So that's never been done before. But our methods are proven. However, the way in which we have them working together is what's behind the innovation here. So we have found a lot of interest, actually, even abroad, with international investment groups that have actually we've secured a pledge for about 50 million euros. Post our IPOing, inshallah and hopefully, to actually create our system and have it be piloted on a larger scale. So we are currently working on a subscale model, which we hope to pilot off the coast of Fujairah sometime this year. We're just super busy just going towards our goal. And as of yet, we haven't faced any major hurdles. It's more along the lines of our momentum and us, the way in which we keep going, and as a startup, you rightfully so, it's all internalized, right? You have to keep motivated, keep pushing, and have the product speak for itself.
Thank you for that, Mariam. It's definitely a disruption to the sector. And I want to zoom into that a little bit, because the MENA region is, according to the latest report by the Congressional Research Service on climate change in the Middle East, remains to be the most affected or to be affected by climate change. It's one of the poorest regions when it comes to water, and sometimes the most ill-prepared. Of course, there are variations across the region, but it's generally ill-prepared at large. So I'm wondering how you also, through this startup, coordinate efforts with other countries in the region, but you as a woman co-founder also try to reach out and see, well, who else is in this space? Who are the women leaders in that space? And how can you work together to make sure that all voices are heard, especially given the role of women in water management at the, you know, sort of smaller city and rural levels?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I would say that there are plentiful opportunities to kind of meet others in the field. For example, there's large global events that are held around the UAE, like ADIPEC, for example, by ADNOC, Sustainability Week that has influence over from Masdar. So there are a lot of very prominent and leading organizations and entities here in the UAE that are really pushing to attract the latest technologies and like the most promising startups in the field of renewables, oil and gas, and so on, and giving them the opportunity again to test their products here and seeing how best to leverage what's out there. And just personally, I mean, I had attended a few events this year on like for hydro wind energy and as a member of the startup. And I hadn't actually seen that many women in the field. I wouldn't go far as to say I know the reasons why, but I assume it's a field that hasn't yet kind of taken off in the traditional startup sense. I think in our day and age, we are always attracted by the next tech startup, which are obviously attractive for the right of being easily scalable or being in a field or industry that's very consumer heavy. But I don't really have the answer to that, honestly. But I think it's getting there. It's like I said, it requires a lot of research and it would require a lot of passion. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do this alone. I mean, the large team behind Hydrowind, I think all the credit does go to them, our team of engineers and those who really handle the technical side.
And in terms of, you said you've attended some of those sort of regional meetings, were there other women in this sector who were also part of sort of similar initiatives or projects?
Honestly, none come to mind. I know that's not the most encouraging thing to say, but
it's an important data point, right?
So yeah. I mean, yeah, you do have that. Not that I know of. I mean, I can't say that I've met every startup in the field.
Sure.
Either locally or internationally, but to my observation, there are not that many women in at least the startup field in renewables.
And that is what the data is telling us, you know, from the research side as well. We actually hosted a panel discussion on women and leadership in the water sector. So we will be more than happy to connect you with some of these women leaders also to start that conversation.
Yeah, that would be great. But I do think that it is getting there in some way, slow but steady, because from what I know, the UAE, given its passion to and goal in the renewable space and clean energy space, there are certain programs in place for youth youth from different universities and also those just interested in the environment. So I'm not, again, don't quote me on this. I'm not exactly sure what the program is called, but there is some sort of an ambassador program where youth are encouraged to learn more about the part they play in preserving the environment and also encouraging them from an academic perspective to pursue that field. So who knows, maybe in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll have a lot more women in the field, and I really look forward to that.
Thank you so much, Mariam. It's really important to invest in youth, so that's a very good point. Rajai?
Absolutely. And, you know, like as you said, Marissa, like as part of, you know, investing in youth, I really like how, you know, you hopped on hydro wind energy to specifically also bring innovation to be part of their, you know, structure. And I want to ask you more about that, Mariam. Like tell us more about your role in bringing innovation to hydro wind energy. How was your experience? How did that disrupt the clients, the work, etc.? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, sure. So I can't say I play much of a role in the technical engineering side, but where I find myself most passionate or most useful within the startup is in partnerships, through the partnership lens, to making sure that we're aware of the of all the opportunities we have around us, facilitating meetings with prominent local private and public entities, as well as, I mean, I myself have taken an interest in the customer side of it. So how we speak to those that we're trying to serve, even if it be through a large water company, it's very much we're trying to tell a story here. And because of what we're trying to do and our ambitious goal, you need that buy-in. It all starts with a story and sort of a mission that people have to buy into and see the true potential and to really get started in something like this. So I really have taken an interest in that. And one of our more recent projects alongside the larger technology system that we're developing is a smaller handheld water desalination device that we actually commercialized in a little over a year and had launched a public campaign on Indiegogo. And we were so humbled by the support and attention that it got. I mean, we received orders from around 96 countries. And again, that's like taking an interest in our story, right? Where we came up with the lowest cost handheld water desalination device. And we found that initially it was created for humanitarian purposes, given that it was a B2C product. It could be used by anyone. But also we found that it had practical applications to the marine sector and survivalists and just outdoor enthusiasts. So just creating these sort of systems in such a needed field, like providing clean water, clean drinking water from something like from seawater, in such a simple but elegant way. We were super humbled, and that really kept us focused and also prove to us that we are on the right track and we're gathering a lot of momentum.
Thank you, Mariam. The innovative part is key, and more research has also indicated that diverse teams contribute to more innovation when it comes to an organization or group or a startup setting. And I wonder if part of the plan moving forward also is for you to ensure that you are more proactive about bringing in more diverse voices and perhaps more women into the equation. So I don't know what the gender setup is in your team, but how can you involve more women and more perhaps diverse teams as part of the work that you're doing in order to also contribute more to innovation?
I mean, yeah, I mean, we actually thrive on diversity. Hydrowind we have about 40 passionate people working for us, and we're quite gender balanced, actually. Again, it just takes that spark, right? Like when you can get behind a mission and it really resonates with you, it's all in the work. Whether it be a woman or a man, it's all a matter of in the end of the day, it's that what really matters is what the product and or impact the product will produce. And we really take pride in that. And our team, I think, also speaks towards that.
Rajai, you had a question, yes. I see.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, this is actually amazing. And I also want to highlight that, you worked on the back end of that process and now on the front end, Maryam. So how do you feel that has affected your journey in terms of, you know, zooming in, working with the startups, helping them to set, their branch, their operations in the UAE, and now actually, dropping this to work with one that you believe in that mission and you want to, make them progress and, following your passion. Can you tell us more about that and how did it affect your personality?
I mean, that's a great question, because I think that was a major driving point for me. I think there's always like these little tells as to when you require a career change or when you have a better opportunity for growth. And I think that's what my position as an ecosystem enabler got me. So being able to work with startups and being behind the scenes just made me so drawn to being or working in a startup itself, right? You're almost like behind the curtains, but you want to be center stage and really, really delving deeper into a startup. There's only so much you can do when you're behind the scenes, and it just takes a startup and it's what it stands for and what it's trying to achieve to really light that spark in you. I think that's what happened with me in Hydrowind Energy.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think that speaks volumes to the trust that you had that made you basically jump in and join. And that gives me a really good opportunity to ask you our, wrap-up question, which is, the before you launch words of wisdom. If you have one or two or even three sort of nuggets of wisdom from your own experience that you'd like to share with others about, taking risks and jumping in as a co-founder of a startup, particularly to those young men and especially women who want to start their own business or that have one and want to scale it, what would you say to them?
I would say jump right in. there's a risk in being comfortable. And I think when you feel at any point in time that you're not learning anymore or those around you or what you're doing doesn't inspire you, that's probably the time you need to move. And I think the world has so many problems worth solving. And it's just a matter of you finding that problem that speaks to you. And that's going to be your fuel to solve for it. And when you solve the problem that so many others face, you really are on the right track. And there's a level of satisfaction you gain from that is unmatched in any, let's say, typical 9-to-5 job. So if you have that drive and it's just a matter of trusting in yourself and trusting in the problem as well. So there is research that has to be done, of course, validating it and so on. But there is so much to gain in the field just because of there's rapid growth, and the you would have the opportunity to meet such interesting people that you'll learn so much from. So my advice to the youth or those kind of on the fence is, why not like dip your feet in it and see where it takes you.
Fantastic. And that a lot of it has to do with following your instincts too. So thank you so much for being with us and sharing your thoughts and your story.
Thank you, Marissa. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Mariam. And onwards and upwards.
Great speaking to you. Thank you so much for having me again.
Thank you.
This podcast is funded by a grant from the United States Department of State. The opinions, findings, and conclusions of this podcast are those of our guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the U.S. Department of State.